Food is fuel for your body, your mind, and definitely your sport. But let's face it, nutrition is confusing, and the expectations on girls and women to be thin and have a six-pack are exhausting. If you've ever been frustrated with your body, confused about nutrition, obsessed with eating healthy, or guilty when you don't, underate, overate, or overtrained, and overwhelmed with all the pressure, then this podcast is for you. Nutrition can be easy. You can take control of it, but it might start with letting go of control by asking for help and making a change. I'm Lindsay Elizabeth Cortez, sports dietitian and owner of Rise Up Nutrition, where I empower female athletes to overcome nutrition concerns and perform at their highest level, to stop being confused by all the mixed or harmful messages, and finally have confidence in your body as a fierce, fit, and fueled female athlete. Hello, fans. Lindsay Elizabeth Cortez, your host of the podcast here. I'm here today with a guest, Haley Swerbel. She's an Olympian and Team USA cross-country skier. Haley's from Colorado, but currently lives in Anchorage, Alaska. She loves spending time moving in the outdoors, whether it be backpacking, biking, backcountry skiing, cross-country skiing, or pack rafting. Haley has loved endurance sports since she was a kid and made it a goal to reach the highest level she could within cross-country skiing. She has raced on the World Cup for three winter seasons and attended her first Olympics at Beijing in 2022. Haley has a degree in civil engineering from the University of Alaska Anchorage and works part-time doing design and construction for Alaska State Parks. So Haley, thank you for joining us.
So glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So just a silly thing based on your bio, what is pack rafting?
Oh my gosh. That's so funny because up in Alaska, it's a really big and popular thing up here now. It's basically a little raft that packs down into a small bundle. It weighs like 8 or 10 pounds, and then you can bring it backpacking with you and float rivers. So
wow,
it opens up the doors to whatever you want to access. If there's a river there that you can float, bring your raft, and then you can go further than you ever thought.
That's awesome, right? I guess I'm not currently living in a location where that's much of a thing, but I love it. I felt like everything else, you know, everything else on your bio, the biking, skiing, you know, that was pretty like, and then I was like, pack rafting. I've never heard of this before. So really fun.
Yeah, I'm just pretty new to it. So I'm getting into it, but I love it. And I think it's going to be my thing once I'm done with competitive sport for sure.
Yeah. So competitive sport, let's jump right into that. Obviously, as we just read off, you have made it to, you know, what most of us consider to be the highest level of, you know, going to the Olympics. And so at what age did you find skiing and then also decide that this would be something you pursued more seriously?
I found skiing when I was 10. So before that, my family was really into mountain biking, just recreationally, and we would do some local races and things. When I was 10, my older brother, who's 2 years older than I am, decided that in order to stay in shape for mountain biking, it would make sense to do something during the winter that would help us stay in shape. So he chose to start cross-country skiing, and as the younger sister, I, of course, followed suit and looked up to my older brother so much. Before that, we were both into freestyle skiing, actually, and doing moguls and things like that. So
fun. Yeah.
We transitioned into cross country that year, and eventually I fell in love with it and decided to prioritize that instead of the biking scene. So yeah, I think I started to take it seriously and really think about where I could go with this when I was probably in about 8th grade. And, you know, the improvement curve can be really steep at first when you're learning something new and in a new sport. So it was really rewarding at that age.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. And so you were living at that time in Colorado.
Yes.
And going to school in Alaska is what brought you up that way, correct?
Yep. Yep. I came up here for college and decided to stay because I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. So part of your journey, you competed on the team at the University of Alaska Anchorage, but if I'm getting my timeline correctly, you did 2 years there and then you joined the US ski team. Is that correct?
Yes, it's kind of complex the way that the system works in skiing, but that is correct. I did 2 years of full time with NCAA skiing, working with NCAA, racing all those races. And then I switched to a professional team once I got named to the US ski team that same year in 2018.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what, just maybe because I don't understand that world of things, was it like a decision of I don't want to compete collegiately, or is it like timing of when they pick the ski team that's just kind of where the rotation like worked out for you? Does that question make sense?
No, totally good question. There are a lot of athletes on the US ski team that will stay through their full 4 years of NCAA. I just felt like it was the right time for me to transition away from it. I had an opening at this awesome team that I'm currently at right now up here in Alaska. And I felt like I had loved my time with NCAA, but I was ready to try something different and have a different schedule and do some different racing. So that's why I decided to only do 2 years.
Yeah. Interesting. And so obviously like being a student athlete is challenging, but was that transition to then be a student athlete, but for a US ski team as opposed to collegiate team, like how did you balance both? Because you finished your degree and everything. How did you balance, you know, being at that pro level and still finishing school?
Great question. And it wasn't always graceful of a balancing act by any means, but I think there are so many avenues for support in this world that I've been lucky to find and been able to have really flexible professors through school and also have support through the US team and my club team here in Alaska that I train with on a daily basis. And everyone kind of just worked together to help me really chase a couple different goals at once, because I do think having balance in my life is really important for me in order to make professional sport sustainable in any way. It can be very consuming and consume your whole life and identity. And I really wanted to make an effort to, maintain a little bit of life outside of skiing as well. So luckily I had the support system to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. So that word balance is just ringing in my ears right now. I've read your blog on your website, and you had one recently about balance and really trying to achieve that balance. And it was such an interesting perspective, nice little blog. So I recommend people listening to just, go read it. And I also appreciate, I'm just going to throw this out there. It was a nice blog, but it was also like rather short in good way of like, you can just read it quickly.
Two minutes.
Go read this for 2 minutes and your other one about the Olympics for 2 minutes. And they were both like really nicely written. And you talked about that balance of just really like, you're a pro skier, and yet in order for you to be the best skier you can be, it's not being a skier all the time.
Yeah.
It's really embracing like all the other things in your life.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I think for me, I've definitely seen teammates and other athletes that feel fulfilled and totally are able to jump in and dedicate 24/7 athlete, kind of like we're told to do. Coming through the pipeline is like to be the best, you have to be a 24/7 athlete, where if you're not training, you're recovering. And if you're not recovering, you're eating, which is also recovering, So I think that there's different ways to be your best version of yourself. And it's really dependent on what works for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, figuring that out for yourself, which I'm sure was a journey to get there. And it's still a journey. Finding balance is always a journey.
Oh, yeah.
But that I think was also really highlighted probably in your Olympic experience too. Again, that blog, that really short read that was really nice, was actually a different perspective on your experience with the Beijing Olympics, which is amazing and congratulations. And I know that you are like, proud, and it was a great experience, but you also had that like perspective of like, but it wasn't everything.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you want to expand upon that a little bit for our listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. I do. I would like to start by saying I'm so, so thankful that I got to have this opportunity. And I didn't want my blog or anything I talk about to be negative, because I'm so glad I've had this opportunity and there were amazing takeaways. But I do think like I saw so many things behind the scenes that media doesn't show and that isn't portrayed to us at all. then when being in it and experiencing it myself in reality was really quite different. And there was a lot of suffering. There's a lot of pressure. There were a lot of people crying because they didn't get race starts or they didn't meet their goals that they really hoped to. And I just think that, yeah, kind of having the perspective after that is I was like, well, this is really important and it matters. There's no arguing that big events matter, and they matter for funding. They matter for viewers. They bring pride to our country. Like, there's so many awesome things about it. But if that's everything for me, then I think I'd just be disappointed with life because there were a lot of gaps, I think, there for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's so well said. And you know, still go read the blog, even though we're talking about it. But like something you said in it was that some of your best memories from the Olympics was like, you know, being with your teammates, just kind of like some other memories and stuff too, that maybe had nothing to do with the actual competition. And I'm sure competition drives you and it's exciting and it thrills you and it's something you're passionate about. But like, what really made the Olympics was that balance of other things. And I'm going to give a shout out to something you said in the blog of like going to KFC takeout was like a memory of yours that brought you joy.
Absolutely. Because the rest of the food wasn't so great. So KFC was a highlight for sure.
Yeah. And I think that balance and that perspective is just, it's just needed, especially for some young athletes as they're kind of setting the stage for their athletic goals and dreams of like, what is going to help you be the best athlete? Maybe it's not being the 24/7 athlete. Maybe it's focusing on school, focusing on making memories with friends and teammates and being flexible with food, even because even Olympians are eating KFC and it was a highlight. It wasn't a bad thing.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. I couldn't put it better. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and let's segue into nutrition. With that being said, I think you have a lot to say about nutrition. I do actually want to give a shout out to the Voice in Sport podcast that you were also on. And so I don't want to be just like a complete repeat because I do want to promote that podcast too, but you definitely have been vocal about times in your life when nutrition was a bit more of a struggle, maybe when you weren't comfortable eating KFC. And so I'm curious to hear from you, at what point in your life did nutrition first like come on your radar as even like a thing? Like,
yeah,
I don't know. Like, that's a kind of big question, but especially as it relates to sport. Yeah.
I know. Absolutely. And a really important question. So my brother is a professional road cyclist. So I know being in that world and growing up surrounded by that type of culture that he was in really influenced a lot of my ideas about nutrition and about trying to use my body to maximize performance. So this idea, this concept of balance is a relatively new thing in my life and hasn't been here along my entire journey by any means. And I definitely, yeah, my mind is very much driven and I can focus on one thing quite well and put a lot of effort and time and energy into that one thing. So that thing was skiing for me through high school, most definitely. I think I became aware of nutrition because that was in my household, because my brother was trying to have the greatest power to weight ratio and be as light as he could be for cycling. And I was like, okay, well, wouldn't that matter for my endurance sport as well? So I think noticing my body kind of changing as I'm going through puberty and high school was really when I started to notice, like, okay, so, and try to experiment. And at first, I think that's how my relationship with food started, was how can I experiment with things? You know, over time, by my junior year of high school, I was really in an unhealthy place with my relationship with food, and it was completely controlling my decisions and controlling my social life, because if I was at a gathering where there's a bowl of chips, I couldn't control myself, frankly. I've been through, yeah, some learning and growth in this aspect too. And yeah, I'm kind of just going, because there's so much to talk about here, but feel free to stop me.
Right.
My junior and senior year of my skiing actually started I didn't ski very well. I think some of my habits and trying to control food and trying to eat as little as I could while still being able to function and train as best as I could kind of caught up with me. And I started racing poorly. So I started kind of mentally struggling with feeling controlled by food and just unhappy. And I was able to reach out to my mom after talking with a friend about this, about just like where I was at with food. And I know the transition into college can be really challenging. So I wanted to deal with this before I went into a transition to college 3,000 miles away without the support of loved ones right there. So I started working with a therapist who specializes in with eating disorders and disordered eating habits. And still work with her today on that and other things, but food Great. No longer controls my every move, which is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'll definitely, so many important things that you said. So I'll put you on pause for a minute. Just how I think it started as this like experiment, which I could say that for myself. I can say that for probably 50% of my clients. Like it starts so naively as an experiment. And also that sense of control that you said of like, oh, if I'm controlling my food or running this experiment, maybe I can control the outcome. And next thing you know, your desire to control, it's controlling you.
Yes.
Like the more that we try to control food, the more food controls you.
Well, I've never thought about it like that, but that is so true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I actually say it in the intro of this podcast. I say, if you could just let go of control. and it's so scary for people to let go of control. But the more that you try to control food, the more it will control your life completely, where suddenly it feels chaotic. It feels like I don't have the social life. I don't have the mental freedom. I don't have the performance that I wanted. I don't have the sleep habits that I wanted. Maybybe you don't even have the body that you wanted, if that was even part of it, because that can be a part of it for some people. They think controlling food will give them the body they want, and then it still doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really lose control the more we do this. So I think that was really, I'm just expanding upon this, but the way you said it, you found that to be completely true. And what I'm really happy for you about is that you were able to recognize that and ask for help.
Yes. Yeah. That's one of the things I think I'm most proud of myself for doing, really, is that's hard. And it's possible, and we all can do that. But it's hard to be honest with yourself, I think, more than anything, to just be like, whoa, I'm actually unhappy doing this. And this is not a healthy thing that's happening to me in my life. And admitting that to myself was the hardest thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Admitting it to others can be challenging too, for sure. But I think once you believe it yourself, it's easier to realize that you need help.
Hey fans, I hope you are enjoying this conversation so far, and we'll be back to it in just a moment. But first, I want to pause and let you know that this episode is brought to you by the Female Athlete System of Transformation, aka the Fast Track to overcome disordered eating and use food as fuel to perform at your highest level. The Female Athlete System of Transformation is my unique program and proven systems to guide female athletes to understanding and implementing the proper nutrition for their sport, life, and health. Myself and my team of registered sports dietitians work one-on-one with clients to address their unique needs and counsel them through the nutritional and behavioral changes needed. Many female athletes who resonate with disordered eating, mental guilt around food and body, relative energy deficiency in sport or female athlete triad, amenorrhea, repeat injuries due to negligent nutrition, or frankly, just a lack of knowledge and understanding on their fueling needs, have seen incredible success in the Fast Track. After years of working as a sports RD, I've compiled the most effective ways for female athletes to learn nutrition, be supported, be challenged, and ultimately find their success with fueling as fast as possible. So don't wait another day. Get to your goals faster by joining the Female Athlete System of Transformation. Look in the show notes or head to the website to book a free call and learn more. Okay, now let's get you back to the conversation. Enjoy.
At that time, just thinking back, because I know it was years ago, but like, did the term eating disorder resonate with you? Or was it more of just like, I'm not happy with what's going on?
I don't think that that was really like just part of the culture that was talked about for me then in my circle. I never was like diagnosed with a specific disorder or anything, but I think talking to a friend who had been, which she's the first person I really had talked to, and she was just heavily restricting and not in a good place. And she had worked with the same therapist that I ended up working with. So that's how I got referred there. But mm-hmm. I think kind of hearing some of the things she had gone to and understanding, oh, wow, I'm doing those same things in a way. Like my outcome is a little bit different and I'm not restricting quite as much because I literally would not be able to train if I was. But yeah, I think I never fully, like I almost resonated more with the term of like disordered eating, just because, yeah, I don't know what your thoughts are about that or what the difference
yeah.
is, but anything is serious. And if food is controlling your life, like that's something that can get better.
Mm-hmm. 100% on board with you. I resonate, and a lot of my clients resonate a little bit more with the term disordered eating. And it's funny when we go down that path of like, because you can probably like do a poll of the country and identify a lot of disordered eating. So it's like, well, what is normal eating? What is disordered? Like, I think an eating disorder is we've got some like clinical markers, you know, in, you know, that we can actually be like, okay, this is clinically diagnosable. But there's such this gray area of disordered eating. And what you just said, though, is like, well, it's still, if it's not me living my happiest, best self, then it's worthy of care. And the reason I asked you that question is because when you did seek help, you said you saw a eating disorder therapist. And so it's like, at some point, we had to address that term in order to find a therapist that, you know, was going to address those things. But I do think that eating disorder therapists or eating disorder dietitians, like, it doesn't have to be clinically diagnosed. Thing.
Yes.
Because we can still teach you, how to get out of this disordered or dysfunctional relationship or behaviors that you might have with food. So it does not have to be a diagnosed thing. If it is, that's fine, but it doesn't have to be. And people who have that kind of title of eating disorder therapist or eating disorder dietitian can help you even still.
Right. No, that's really important and something I wish more people knew, because there, I think there's a lot of gray area. And if you're struggling and you actually admit that to yourself and are aware of that, talking with someone with a title that sounds really intimidating, it's easy to convince yourself, well, I don't have an eating disorder. Like I'm not making myself throw up or something like that. So, but if,
yeah,
it's just the relationship with food, and someone who's trained in that is a massive help in making your life more sustainable and healthy and happy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So it's funny because I'm just like, even myself, like with my, like, I've never really claimed to be an eating disorder dietitian. I'm a sports dietitian and I work with disordered eating, because the reality is that disordered eating is very, very prevalent in sports. So I'm trained in that. And I am trained in eating disorders because it's so prevalent in sport. But most athletes wouldn't resonate with eating disorder. Some do, but most don't. But a lot of athletes resonate with disordered eating. And so it's really just, I think that term can be scary, but it's, I'm not like at this, I wanted to ask you because sometimes I can be like, I'm so far into my career that I can be so like lackadaisical about things sometimes, like, oh, disordered eating. But like, that's still a scary term to somebody who's 16, 17, and just like coming to recognizing that things aren't great for them. And it can be a kind of scary step to ask for help and figure out like, oh, this is disordered eating. This is what this is. But anybody who's trained in this, whether it be a therapist or a dietitian, can certainly help. And you're worthy of that help, as you said.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's also cool to hear that you still work with that therapist on, you know, that and different things, because therapists are helpful for many, many things. And so I'd love to hear from like a timeline perspective, if you're willing to share, like your goal in seeking help was, I would like to to get better before I transitioned into college? And did you find that to be the case of like getting that help before college really set you up for success, or was college, did college still pose its struggles?
I am so glad that I was able to work with my therapist when I was, and that made my transition to college a lot easier. Definitely. I think that what I've learned just from my experience and from experience of teammates or friends and those around me, we all talk openly about this, which is pretty cool. Not all, but a lot of us do. I think that it's not something that is just cured and goes away. So it's just something that like becomes manageable and doesn't any longer control my life at all. So yeah, seeking that help before going off to school and in that really high stress period with a lot of change was crucial for me. I think I would have been able, you know, it would have been worth figuring out if I hadn't done it then. I absolutely would have hoped I would have done it as soon as I had recognized that at any point.
Yeah.
But yeah, it took me about, you know, I spent the whole summer going to work with my therapist and strategies and self-acceptance and treating myself with kindness and generosity the way I want to treat other people, all in relation to food and my relationship with it, and continued to work with her remotely, you know, while I was at school. But I kind of would revisit it as needed if there was a trigger or somebody in my life that, you know, made me kind of question my own habits that I was working on developing. And she was always there as a support. But yeah, it took me a solid year or two of really kind of consistent and then intermittent after the initial few months of good hard work to really learn and develop and make these new strategies a habit for me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I think how you mentioned, like, does it ever really go away? Well, part of that is the reality that like we eat every single day and we're supposed to eat every day, multiple times a day. And for some of us as athletes, a lot of food multiple times a day. And so it's something that like food will never go away. The whatever the problem might be, food will never go away. It's always going to be there, but it's how are we thinking about it? Are we thinking about it more positively? Is it becoming easier? Is it becoming less stressful? Is it no longer controlling me? Is it something that helps my life instead of taking away from my life? Like it's always, food will always be there. And so we're going to have thoughts about it, but it's such a different, like, yeah, we can't just like never think about food.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it can be such a struggle for people, because it's never going to go away. We just have to change how we think about it.
Yes. And we can, which is so cool. Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, let's fast forward a little bit, like as your relationship with food has changed, and we kind of started this conversation with saying at the Olympics, KFC was involved. Like, do you have any tips, and this is not a what does Haley eat in a day thing, but do you have any tips or suggestions as to like how to approach your fueling with balance, with this better relationship with food, and as a high level skier that you might want other young girls or young athletes to hear?
Oh, so many things to say. I'm trying to think about some. I think the thing that has been most powerful for me is learning to be patient with myself. There are absolutely days where I felt like I've eaten a lot of crap and I don't feel that good about myself. And yeah, I don't like how it made me feel that day. And rather than trying to restrict the next day to make up for it or something, which is what I may have done in the past, I'm now able to say, okay, my body knows the place it wants to be. It knows its own equilibrium. And it will get there. It will tell me maybe the next day or in a few days that I'm less hungry at one point, and then maybe I just don't need to eat the rest of my huge burrito. Like, I don't know. I think that it's so important for girls and women to like, and every human being to really try and listen to your body. Like, what signals is it giving you? Does it need energy? Does it feel full or not? I don't know. That's so complicated. And this is where you come in, Lindsay, and help everybody out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
but yeah, I think with the balance, there's space for everything, as far as I'm concerned, in my diet, at least. And I think that in general, I know how to choose nutritious foods at this point in my life and have worked with a lot of nutritionists and my therapist and everything in order to be able to choose that. But did I just come home from training and eat a handful of chocolate covered mangoes? Yeah, I totally did, because that was what was there and it sounded freaking awesome. And at the end of the day, like, my body just needed some fuel to get the recovery going, and that will do the trick. So yeah, I think like having KFC at the Olympics was awesome because it tasted like the best thing that I could find there. And at some point, sometimes you just got to eat. Like, as an endurance athlete or an athlete in general, sometimes a calorie is a calorie, and it doesn't matter if it's from like a really healthy quinoa kale bowl or if it's from KFC. Sometimes you need fuel, and sometimes it tastes better than others. And that was the time it tasted great.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't agree more on the, like, you know, as a human being, first and foremost, and then as an athlete, like, you need calories no matter what. So eating is going to be better than not eating. So that's great. And I think, kind of to summarize your advice, like, be patient. There's space for everything in your diet, the chocolate covered things and the kale salads. And at the same time, be educated on nutritious foods. And I think the be patient piece is really important, because you're right, that whole listen to your body thing, it is complicated. It is what I'm here for, and other specialists are here for. Literally talked to one of my clients about that about 2 hours ago, just her really trying to figure out what her body is telling her. And the thing is, it's not like this immediate thing. This is what I was talking to her about, is like, it's not like you can eat a meal and you'll get some information on your body about that. But it's you also don't want to make like a definitive decision after that one experience. So you do need to be patient. How did the rest of the day go? How did the rest of the week go? How have you been feeling? And then like analyze, because I think when we try to micromanage and be like, well, I ate that one thing and then I felt this one way, that's where we're not listening to our body, because we're like, we've got things under too much of a microscopic lens. So when people are trying, I hope this is making sense to listeners, because it does get confusing. We can kind of talk in circles about listening to your body, but I love that your advice is be patient, because in listening to your body, you have to be patient and kind of like ride the wave and see what's going to happen. So,
yes, no, that's, thank you for summarizing that. That's awesome. And I just, I think that one thing that I found just really profound working with a therapist about this is, if I saw someone else or someone I was mentoring, someone a little bit younger than I am, treat themselves unkindly, I would really not want that for them. And I think that just kind of looking at it through this lens is like, my body is the only person that's going to be with me forever. So I should treat it really kindly. And you don't treat people kindly by reprimanding them right away or punishing them when they make a mistake. You have to be patient with them and help them learn and grow from that and say, it's okay, body. I know that we maybe ate this thing that didn't make us feel good about ourselves, but we're going to figure it out and be okay. And I'm going to give you the space to find your own equilibrium. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think so many people have kinder things to say to their friend, to their teammates, to their sisters, but we don't always like look ourselves in the mirror and say the same things. And
yeah,
we really should. As you just said, it's helpful with the food thing and it's helpful in every other area of life.
Absolutely.
To be kinder to yourself. And I think that I also had a similar thought probably around college age time for myself. And it's really stuck with me for years of like, huh, like I live with myself every single day. Like, you know, how much effort do you put into being nice to your friends and building good relationships and, you know, pursuing intimate relationships and like, and then it's like, but I'm the one with myself every single day. Like, I need to have a better relationship with myself in my own mind right now, be kinder to myself. So I had a similar like realization.
Yeah, that's really funny. Yeah. Maybe we all go through that at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we do. And I think the sooner the better.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because then we can start being kinder to ourselves. Well, this was just a really great, I think, honest and open conversation about your food journey and finding balance in your life. And so athletically, what is next for you? Because the Olympics for many people are, you know, like the pinnacle of many people's careers. And so are we continuing to pursue skiing at its highest level and still all the balance in every other area of your life? I know you're working and everything. You have a degree in civil engineering, which is like incredibly challenging.
Thanks. It wasn't always easy.
Yeah. So what's on the horizon for you with athletics?
Yeah, I think after this season, I think with COVID stress, with the Olympic stress, I definitely was a little bit burnt out at the end of this year. So I've taken a decent break this summer before getting back into full-time training and really focusing on skiing again. I am planning on going, I'm going to ski this whole winter. I'm just going to make the schedule a little bit different to be able to have more balance in my life and feel happy with the way that's going. And I'm kind of playing it, you know, I'm taking it one year at a time right now, just in a phase of my life where I don't, I don't know. Such a loaded question, just based off of where I'm at right now. But yes, I'm still going to be skiing. And I'm reevaluating as on a year-to-year basis to decide how much longer I want to do it before pursuing other things that I'm excited about in life too.
Yeah. Well, and that's some people are like have this plan, but you do have a plan, and your plan is honestly, not to be cheesy, but letting your heart guide you.
Yeah.
If you're feeling good, feeling, you know, excited by skiing, doing well, you want to keep doing this, you will, but you also have other opportunities. And so it's a season by season thing for you at this moment in time. You have so many opportunities in front of you. So it's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. One way that I think about it is, you know, it's like I'm on a boulder in the middle of a river, and there's boulders through the river. And all I have to do is get to this next boulder, this next milestone. I can jump to the bank at any time I want and go to a completely different river if I want to, but mm-hmm. I'm in this river and I'm taking it one rock at a time and trying to enjoy each rock for what it is.
Cool. I like that metaphor. Awesome. So Haley, I ask all guests the same questions to end each episode. So I'm going to ask them to you as well. Are you ready?
Yeah.
If there was one food you could eat every single day for the rest of your life and never get sick of it, what would it be?
Oh man. Does it mean that I would be guaranteed to never get sick of it, or a food that I don't think I would get sick of?
I know this is a hard question. I don't know. Can you guarantee it? If the only way you could guarantee it is if you've done it already,
yep.
If you've eaten the same food every single day for your whole life, that's the only way you could guarantee it. Which in all honesty, I've thought about this and I've been like, well, I drink coffee every morning and I'm not sick of it.
Okay. So it's possible.
So it is possible, but if you have another, or there's something that maybe you don't, but maybe you could challenge yourself to eat a burrito every single day and see if you get sick of it. I don't know. What do you love much you don't think you would ever get sick of it?
I think I would have to say ice cream.
Yeah.
I could have ice cream every day, and I do most days, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you on that's my runner up. I'm like, well, I do the coffee thing, but I feel like that's a little bit of a cop out. And then it's ice cream. I have it most days, and I really think I could have it every day.
For sure.
Yeah. I love it. Okay, next question. It sounds obvious, but you never know. What is your favorite sport to participate in?
I think I'm going to throw a curveball here. I think my favorite sport is backcountry skiing to participate in.
Yeah. I like that.
It's an amazing.
A little different.
Yeah, it's an amazing outlet for me where skiing is a job in a lot of ways. And I love it. I do love it as a job, but it's a job sometimes. But the fun type is being out in the mountains in a beautiful powdery day for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. So how about as a spectator, do you have a favorite sport that you love being a fan on the sidelines?
Oh, I do think it's so fun to watch cross country skiing, which especially if you're there in person, Yeah, I would have to say that for sure.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Cool. And then my final question is, if there's a female athlete out there that you want to give a shout out to for being a role model or being what I call fierce, fit, and fueled, who would that be and why?
Oh man, the first person that came to mind for me is my teammate, or now ex-teammate, she retired, Sadie Bjornsson. And gosh, she has an awesome heart. She always takes care of her body and herself and her soul. And she's always been a great mentor, and I really appreciate her. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, shout out to Sadie. And I love your kind of, it got me thinking that when somebody takes care of themselves, like you were saying, Sadie takes care of herself, then she's able to take care of other people and be kind. Yep. and be a mentor to other people.
Yep, absolutely.
So, yeah, beautiful. Well, and thank you so much, Haley, for having this conversation, for being on the podcast, for being a role model for other athletes, female athletes, young athletes, and just to people with their relationship with food and all that you've accomplished, being a role model in balance. We appreciate your time and excited to continue to watch you compete and see what's in store for you.
Thank you. So fun to talk to you.
I really hope you enjoyed that episode and thanks for listening. But before I let you go, I have free resources that you can have access to right away, right now, so that you can start fueling your body as a fierce, fit, and fueled female athlete. First, I have your Red S recovery race. If you've ever wondered if you might be struggling with Red S, curious to learn more, or know you have Red S and are looking to recover fast, then you can head to www.riseupnutritionrun.com/redS and download the Red S Recovery Race. See how you place and figure out the next steps to recovery. Plus, while there, I have a few other great resources for you, including 3 nutrition secrets that every elite athlete swears by and access to our private Facebook community, Female Athlete Nutrition. So again, to gain access to all of this, head to riseupnutritionrun.com/redS. That's /REDS. And you can gain access and get the help you need fast. Too many girls and women and female athletes struggle with nutrition, but you don't have to any longer. Become fierce, fit, and fueled. Links in the show notes, and I'll see you next time.